Our message for today leads us to a very, very solemn portion of the Word of God. It's found in Revelation chapter 20 from verse 11 through verse 15. But before we read these solemn verses, let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we are about to read from the sacred scriptures. We ask Thee that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou shalt write these things indelibly on all our minds. Grant, O God, that no one today shall close their ears to Thy word, or close their minds to the truth of Thy word, but grant that enlightenment shall be granted unto them, that the light of Thy word shall penetrate the darkness, that each of us today shall understand that this is the eternal word of the eternal God. May Thy blessing rest upon every listener now, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now I'm reading from the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, and from verse 11, and for the sake of some who may just have tuned in today and are not regular listeners to our program, we have been going through a systematic study of the book of Revelation. And so today we come to this very, very solemn section, commencing to read at verse 11 then of chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of these words. Some time ago, a young preacher came down from his pulpit after preaching a sermon. Sitting in the audience that day was a young intellectual who called himself an atheist, or you might call him a skeptic. He confronted the minister and he said to him, "I don't believe in the infallibility of the Bible." The young preacher looked at him and said, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The young skeptic looked at the minister. He said, "I can prove to you there is no such thing as a judgment after death." The young preacher looked at the intellectual skeptic. And he said, "But men do die. For it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." "But that's no argument," the skeptic protested. "Why don't you let us get down to business and let us debate this matter in regular form?" The young preacher shook his head. He says, "I am here to preach the word of God and not to argue or to debate over it." The young skeptic turned away with the remark, "I don't believe you know enough about the Bible to debate about it." "Perhaps you are right," was the calm rejoinder from the young preacher. "But remember this, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The young skeptic left, walked away. But the next morning he called on the preacher. He says, I've come to see you about that verse of scripture you gave me last night. He said, I have spent a terrible night with these words. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. He says, I can't get rid of them. Tell me what I must do to be saved. Ah, you see, my friend, the word of God will stand the test of time. The word of God is like a seed. If it is planted into good ground, it will bring forth fruit in due season. Like that young preacher, I take my stand right here. I'm not here on this broadcast to try to argue with you. I'm not here to debate with you. I'm simply here to declare what the Word of God has already said. And here in these verses, 11 through 15 of Revelation 20, we have the record of the righteous retribution on the ungodly. We have taken note in the chapter in previous studies that in the first three verses we have the restraint of Satan for 1,000 years when he is bound and cast into the bottomless pit. And at that time he cannot deceive the nation. During those 1,000 years, verses 4 through 6, we had the reign of the sovereign Christ, his millennial reign. Verses 7 through 10, you have the release of Satan for a little season, where he heads up that great final rebellion. But now that has come to an end. Verses 11 through 15, we have the righteous retribution on the ungodly. Here we have the greatness of the throne. We have the vastness of the throng. We have the justness of the trial and the fearfulness of the torment. We're not here to argue with you, friend. We're simply here to state the facts and restate the facts that are found in the Word of God. Whether we like to believe it or not, will not alter the facts. You say, but I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior. And if He's a Savior, why is He going to condemn men? The story is told about a judge one day who was walking to the place where he would sit as a judge in a case. As he was passing along at a level crossing, he saw a little child on the rail track. He could also see a train coming quickly round the bend. In jeopardy to his own life, he ran onto the level crossing, picked up the child, carried the child to safety. Just in a split second, he was off the line, and the train rushed past. You say that was a good man. He was the savior of that child. That's perfectly true. But he went on his way to the court. He donned his robes and his wig, and he sat up in the judge's seat, and he heard the case. And at the end of the case that day, he had to announce the verdict that the accused was found guilty, and he had to pass the death sentence upon the guilty man who had been accused. In one day, that man was a savior of a little child, but he was the judge who had to condemn an accused criminal. Oh, you see, my friend, when we come to the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, we discover that the day of salvation is past. The time for getting right with God has passed, and now the one who could be the Savior is now sitting upon the throne as a judge. Look at the greatness of the throne. It is the imperial throne. This will be the great final judgment, with the greatest judge of all time deciding the greatest issues. There never was a case like this. You know, the Bible sets before us a number of court cases. We find a way back in the book of Genesis that God comes down to judge a great case in the Garden of Eden. Man there is guilty and condemned. He is turned out of the garden under the governmental dealings of God. But one day in Pilate's judgment hall, there was a man who stood there accused, but he was an innocent man. And they brought in false witnesses. The case was heard. And the judge knew that the accused was innocent. He knew that. He knew the reason why they had brought the accused there. Yet in spite of all that, you find that the judge, who was Pilate, he gave the verdict against an innocent man. He said, I find no fault in him. Nevertheless, he said, you take him and crucify him. And an innocent man was led away to Calvary and crucified on that center cross. But now when we come here to the great white throne judgment, again there's a judge upon the throne. But those who stand before the throne will be found guilty. They are guilty. And here the man on the throne is the judge, the greatest judge of all time. You see, the Father has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. The great Apostle Paul, while preaching to the learned Athenians on Mars Hill, he told them this, that God had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge, the one who has been raised again from the dead. Oh, here is the greatness of the throne. It is the great final assize of the universe. There have been times already when God has acted in judgment. He acted in judgment upon a guilty, sinful world in the days of Noah, and the world was destroyed with a flood of judgment. God acted in judgment upon the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness of their way of life. God had to act in judgment. When God brought the children of Israel into the land of Palestine, the promised land, God had to deal in judgment with the inhabitants of that land because the cup of their iniquity was full, and God had to judge them, and he used the nation of Israel as the sword of judgment against those wicked people. We have seen already that before the millennial kingdom was set up, there was a judgment of the living nations. You'll find that at the end of Matthew chapter 25. And the living nations had to be judged because of their attitude towards those who were witnessing for the Lord during the tribulation period. And so he judged the living nations. He also judged the beast and the false prophet. Already in verse 10 of this chapter, and the devil that destroyed them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Judgment has been passed upon them. But now here at verse 11 is the great white throne judgment. It's the final thing, the final assize of the universe, and the throne is set up, and the greatest issues of all time are to be decided or put into effect, because it's going to affect men's eternal destiny. Now, I want you to notice the vastness of the throng, or if you like, the immensity of the throng. It distinctly says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Oh, my friend, listen. When you think of the vastness of the throng, the dead, small and great, none shall be able to escape. Oh, the immensity of the throng, no matter who that person may have been, the great ones and the small ones standing before that throne, right from the day of the beginning of the human race, right on to the very end of time, all those who have rejected God, who have turned against God, who have refused to accept his offer of mercy, those who have not repented and turned to God, then they'll stand there before the imperial throne of the great judge. Oh, the immensity of the throng of people who will stand there. Might I pause here for a moment to ask every listener today, my friend, will you be counted in with those who will stand before that great white throne? Remember, the Bible tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You see what it says here, and I saw the dead, small and great. That is those who were spiritually dead, those who were physically dead. They've been resurrected to stand before that throne, but they do not have eternal life. All those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior are reckoned to have been quickened. You had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is reckoned to be alive unto God. He already has been resurrected before this event will take place. He's been with the Lord for 1,000 years and more. And at the great white throne judgment, the believer will not appear to be judged. His judgment took place on the cross when Christ died as his substitute. But now here, the immensity of the throng, this great throng, will be standing there before that imperial throne. I want you to notice now the justness of the trial. It distinctly says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Here are the incriminating records. They are judged according to the things written in the books. You know, God's records are minutely correct and absolutely judged. Now, a man is saved not on the basis of works. He is saved on the basis of grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But when it comes to judgment, man is judged on the basis of works. But remember, this judgment is not to determine who are saved and who are lost. For all who will stand before the great white throne are already lost. They are the dead, those who were dead in trespasses and sins, and those who died in their sins. They died unrepentant. Now they're raised to stand before God. And the incriminating records are opened and read, and everyone will have to agree that God's records are correct. Remember where we commence by saying that the young man kept repeating the words, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. You see, the judgment will take place afterwards. My friend, you may live this life down here without God. You may live according to the dictates of your own heart. You may do your own things, but for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You see, this is where the Christian has the best of it all the time. For the Christian knows that he has committed himself to God. He has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. The past is blotted out, will never be brought against him. His sins have been cast into the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness. But, oh my friend, for those who have not trusted Christ, for those who are not saved, the books remain there, and the books with their incriminating records shall be opened, and men will be judged according to their works. And if men are to be judged according to their works, remember, the works of the flesh, the works of the old nature, are all contrary to the things of the Spirit of God. These works are against God, so therefore, being judged according to the works, we can only be condemned. Ah, but there's another book opened, and it's called the Book of Life, because it says, and this other book was opened. And according to this other book, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, may I ask you this? Where is your name written? Is your name still found in the incriminating records with all your sins against you? Or is your name written in the book of life, constituted, as it were, a member of God's family? Shall we call it God's birthday book? Is your name written there? Are you one of his? Because if your name is not in the book of life, then you're not one of his. And your name will either be in the book of life or in the book of records that are incriminating. Oh, the justness of the trial. No one will be able to say that God was unjust. Some years ago, there was a great railway disaster took place just on the borders of Scotland and England, near a place called Gretna Green. It took place during World War I, when a train load of troops were journeying from central Scotland down to a destiny in England, to go across to France, to the battlefields. But while they were there on that train, some man made a mistake, and another train was put onto the wrong line, and the two trains collided. And while they were involved in this collision, a third train came, an express train, and rammed into both of the trains that already were in collision, which meant it was a threefold train disaster. As the rescuers were moving about trying to rescue the wounded and take out the dead, they came across one man, and one man who was in that wreck kept saying, oh my God, I never got a chance. I never got a chance. You see, what he meant was he had no chance in the disaster. But oh, my friend, remember this. No one will ever be able to say that at the great white throne. You've been warned. And look, the fearfulness of the torment. It's irrevocable, this sentence. For all whose names were not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember what was said in verse 10, to be tormented day and night forever and ever. There's judgment coming, my friend, and there's only one way to escape the judgment, and that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? says the word of God. Remember, it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment.